The headlines: China says it reserves the right to respond to the U.S. move to shoot down what Beijing says was a civilian unarmed airship. Israeli forces detain nearly two dozen Palestinians, including a senior Islamic Jihad leader in the West Bank. And a former Pakistani military ruler, General Pervez Musharraf, dies at the age of 79. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. The United States says it has shot down what it calls a Chinese spy balloon that has been flying across America in the past week. The U.S. military said its fighter jets downed the balloon with a missile when it floated off the southeastern coast. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the balloon was being used by China to survey strategic sites in continental United States. China's foreign ministry expressed strong dissatisfaction, saying it was opposed to the use of force to attack its airship. Beijing had previously said that the balloon was for civilian meteorological purposes and that it had strayed into U.S. airspace. The incident brought to a new low the already tense relations between the two sides. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken postponed his visit to China over this incident. Earlier, we were joined by a political analyst, Kinter Xu, from Beijing. He tells us the U.S. shooting down of the Chinese balloon could set a dangerous precedent and prompt retaliatory measures.
Well, obviously, this is an incident. The airship is out of control. It's unmanned, and it's because of the strong westerly, or the strong wind, basically blowing to the from east to the west, and went astray and deviated from due course severely and straight into the U.S. airspace. The Chinese side has expressed regret and explaining that this is for research purpose, meteorological research in particular. And usually, such incident, which is not unusual in the history of between countries, let's say, in international relations, but usually it was dealt with by two governments and or by professionals from both sides, because it is not a it's not a serious issue, but it's a sovereignty issue. I think we should have there's overreaction, and also in a sense it's a bit aggressive, I would say, by shooting down the balloon even after the explanation from the Chinese side. Because remember, this could be a precedent, because there's a lot of U.S. military assets flying close or in direct violation of the Chinese sovereign airspace in the South China Sea, in the East China Sea, over Taiwan, for example. If China chooses to retaliate, they can do something like this. So let's hope that they will talk to each other and find a way out of this difficult situation.
Iran's foreign minister says U.S. bullying and sanctions policy are doomed to fail. Hussein Amir Abdullahian made the remarks in a meeting with his Cuban counterpart in Havana. The top Iranian diplomat reaffirmed Tehran's condemnation of foreign meddling in Cuba's affairs and the U.S. role in the 2021 riots in the Caribbean country. Also referring to the recent unrest in Iran, Amir Abdullahian said the U.S. and some other Western states target sovereign countries by simultaneously imposing sanctions on them and provoking riots there. The Cuban foreign minister, for his part, also denounced the unilateral sanctions and foreign interference. Bruno Rodriguez said enhancing ties with Iran is a priority for his country. Amir Abdullahian also earlier met with the Cuban president. He is on a foreign tour, which has already taken him to Mauritania, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Iran has denounced the UN nuclear watchdog over its Wednesday report that has raised concerns over changes of equipment at a nuclear site. Iran's nuclear chief Mohammad Islami says that the IAEA report is based on a mistake by an inspector during a visit to the Fordow plant. Tehran has written to the agency explaining the inspector's mistake, but the agency publicized the issue. The Iranian official criticized the agency's behavior as unprofessional and unacceptable. Islami has warned that such practices would harm the IAEA's reputation. The U.S. and its European allies have issued a joint statement accusing Iran of being inconsistent with its obligations under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They say Tehran's response to the agency is inadequate. Author and journalist Robert Fantina joined us earlier with his take on the IAEA anti-Iran allegations. Let's take a listen.
It was the United States, as you said, that destroyed it. The United States that violated the JCPOA. Iran, as I've mentioned before in previous conversations, remained fully compliant with the JCPOA for a full year after the United States reissued the sanctions. Iran was not under any obligation to do that. Once the agreement is violated by one party, then it's null and void, basically. But expecting that the other countries would continue trade and continue to support Iran, the Iranian government gave them a year to do so. And once they ceased doing that, the Iranian government rightly continued with its nuclear program once again. It's the United States that can't be trusted. It's the United States that has violated agreements continually. And it's the United States that should be sanctioned and should be held accountable for its violations of international law.
Tens of thousands of demonstrators have once again hit the streets in Tel Aviv to protest against the policies of the right-wing cabinet led by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. The protesters chanted slogans against Netanyahu and carried banners and signs that read, "Cabinet of Shame" and "Bring Down the Dictator." Israelis have been protesting against the Netanyahu regime for the fifth straight week. Protesters are expressing their disapproval of what they call a fascist cabinet and its proposed reforms meant to increase political power. Netanyahu returned to power at the head of a coalition with extreme right and ultra-Orthodox parties. The cabinet is planning to hand over more powers to lawmakers in appointing judges and overriding the rulings of the regime's apex court. The coalition also intends to intensify the expansionist policy with more settlement units in the occupied West Bank. Tim Anderson is a director of the Sydney-based Center for Counter-Hegemonic Studies. He tells us how politics are shaping the protests behind Netanyahu's cabinet in Israel.
Look, I think it's important to recognize that the protests represent a very deep faction, a deep division that's occurring between the Zionist factions. This sometimes isn't recognized so much on the resistance side of things, but what they are calling an openly fascist faction led by Netanyahu has been in power in the colony for around 15 years now. And yet the liberal faction, which is more concerned about the image of Zionists and of the colony, dominate in the US, for example. And so there have been very important attacks on the Netanyahu regime and criticisms of Israel, which haven't been seen before from a lot of North American Jews. So this conflict between the liberal Zionist faction, let's say, and the openly fascist faction, I think is quite important because it foreshadows a destabilization of the regime itself. The liberals would like to change the system. They're very upset at the apartheid brand, for example. That's why they talk about shame. They really have this dreamlike ideal of two states and being kind to the Arab population and so on. And of course, the openly fascist faction has completely destroyed that in the eyes of the world.
Israel has arrested nearly two dozen Palestinians in the raids across the occupied West Bank. One of the detainees, a senior Islamic Jihad leader, Sheikh Khizr Adnan, was arrested during an incursion into a village south of Jenin. Mona Kendall is with us with the details. Mona.
This time Israeli raided Arabi town in Jenin and arrested a number of Palestinians, including Khadr Adnan, who is a leader of the jihad movement in the occupied West Bank. We have to mention that Khadr Adnan had been arrested by the Israeli forces several times in the past, and he is known to be the leader of the Battle of the Empty Stomachs in 2012. He carried out an open-ended hunger strike for 66 days in order was against the administrative detention without charge or trial. And the open-ended hunger strike was to force the Israeli prison authorities to release him. In 2015 also, he engaged in an open-ended hunger strike for 52 days, and then his administrative detention was stopped by the Israelis, and he was released. In 2018, he also engaged in an open-ended hunger strike for 59 days, and also against the administrative detention, and he was released. We have to mention that his wife revealed that immediately after the ugly way of detaining Sheikh Khadr Adnan, he declared that he would start an open-ended hunger strike because he considers his detention is illegal as usual in the past. We are speaking about 10 other Palestinians have been detained by the Israeli forces. In Jenin, 4 Palestinians were detained. Clashes erupted between the Palestinians and the Israeli soldiers. In Ariha, 1 Palestinian was arrested. In Ramallah, 2 Palestinians were detained by the Israeli forces. In Beit Fajar, in Beit Lahem, 1 Palestinian was detained. And also in towns around Al-Quds, 3 other Palestinians were detained by the Israeli soldiers.
Thank you very much. That was our correspondent Mona Kendall joining us live from Ramallah. Former Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf has died at the age of 79 after a prolonged illness. Musharraf died in a hospital in Dubai after spending years in self-imposed exile. The chiefs of Pakistan's army have expressed condolences on his death. Musharraf ruled for nearly a decade after seizing power in a coup in 1999. In 2008, the country's first democratic elections in 11 years were held in Musharraf's party lost. Facing impeachment by parliament, he resigned and fled to London. Later in 2013, he returned to Pakistan to run for a seat in parliament, but he was immediately disqualified. 6 years later, a court sentenced him to death in absentia, and in 2007, he imposed a emergency rule, which was the reason for that verdict. This verdict was later overturned. Musharraf survived at least 3 assassination attempts. Our correspondent in Islamabad, Nasser Kazmi, tells us more about the life and political career of Pervez Musharraf and how he will be remembered.
If we will look into the politics of Pakistan, former President Pervez Musharraf, who died today in Dubai, will be remembered as one of the powerful and one of the controversial president of Pakistan, because when he came in power back in 1999 through a bloodless coup when he overthrown the government of former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif and became the president of Pakistan. During his tenure, the controversies were on because Musharraf, as his opponents called him, the close ally of the United States, and this was the time when in 2001 Al-Qaeda waged a war on U.S. And then U.S. Waged a war on Afghanistan under the pretext of Al-Qaeda and Taliban-linked militants. Musharraf was the head of Pakistan's, who gave them permission to carry out attacks inside Afghanistan and allegedly provided bases to the United States for carrying out attacks inside Afghanistan. So the controversies continues during his tenure when he was in power. He faced 3 attacks during his tenure.
And Saudi Arabia is warning of the fallout between Western energy sanctions on Russia. The Saudi energy minister says the sanctions could result in a shortage of energy supplies of all kinds when they are the most needed. Abdulaziz bin Salman stressed that the sanctions and embargoes will have no other outcome. He was referring to a series of oil and gas sanctions against Russia by the U.S., EU, and their Western allies over the conflict in Ukraine. Saudi Arabia says it is engaging with Russia to keep oil prices relatively stable. OPEC Plus, an alliance of OPEC and other major oil producers, including Russia, agreed last year to cut its production until the end of 2023 to support the market. The U.S. accused Saudi Arabia of siding with Russia to raise the prices. And a senior Russian official is warning that the supply of more advanced U.S. weaponry to Ukraine will only add fuel to the fire, culminating in more retaliatory strikes from Russia. Deputy Chairman of the Russian Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev, says in case Ukraine receives new weaponry, all regions remaining under its rule will also burn. He added that the use of longer-range weapons by Ukraine and its allies will not force Russia to hold negotiations. Medvedev emphasized that Russia is ready to use all types of weapons in accordance with their doctrinal documents. The Pentagon announced on Friday that it was sending Ukraine a new military package worth $2 billion. Russia has time and again reiterated that more military aid to Kiev would only prolong the war and add to the suffering of Ukrainians. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Aperture. Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet, who can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the Earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the Earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We've failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting, seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it.
این عمر که زیاد بشه یعنی داریم میریم توش.
Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
I am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the Earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
I am trapped in a nightmare. I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear, but I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children are vanishing.
The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that would mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future. We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all. برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار
و زیانبخش باشه. Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold on you. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives.
which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to drought and lack of water.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now. Since entering the 21st century, even in our own western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources. So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. And then the water came up, and I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
در جامعه جهانی باید با این ادبیات بیشتر خودمون رو مانوس بکنیم و براش تدبیر بیندیشیم.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. We have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. One multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The one turned into 1,000. Two multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. Three multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
The
Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
Argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criteria the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around. And the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless. Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the Earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences. Consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the earth.
I
don't understand why. My children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level, and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
First revolution that started with the people, continued with the people, did not change its word, did not change its way, did not decrease or increase its goals, is the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei.
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is for a better life for IRIB English Radio. I am your host, Sayyid Mahdi Tawakkol. And one of my specialties is in offering some skills for having a more preferable life, and my talk is based on the Quran and Islamic narrations. In this session, I am going to be going over a negative trait, and that is to be stingy. Being stingy means that there is a man who can be generous, possesses required wealth and property, but still prefer not to spend. A stingy individual is someone who has money but is very reluctant to spend it, both for himself and for others who are related to him. While living a frugal lifestyle can be great and make for a perfectly happy person and family, it can be detrimental if it goes too far and ventures into stinginess, depriving yourself or others of everything in fear of unwillingness to spend money is not a good lifestyle. There are many psychological points that describes why man becomes stingy. It is said by the expert in this field that primary reason for stinginess is that people feel insecure about money. This financial insecurity makes it hard for them to give away something that they believe they lack. In most of the cases, these people do not lack money, but what they feel of shortage is just an assumption and an imagination. It is not real. Being stingy usually stems from not having a good faith in Allah. Those people think that in future they may need a lot of portion of money, they may become ill, and the process of remedy may require a great deal of wealth. Or they think that later on in their life they may need to buy something essential in their life. Or maybe a sort of inflation may occur in their society. The basic necessities of life may become expensive and so on and so more. The result of these imaginations, that usually are not real, is nothing that these people, for an unpleasant event that has never yet come, put themselves to another unpleasant situation that is present. And this is funny. In other words, these people, for a kind of bad situation that could happen in the future, just could happen, and still would not, put themselves in a bad situation and involve themselves in an unpleasant situation. They put themselves and those who are related to them into trouble for not being put into trouble. A wise man does totally vice versa. He tries to enjoy his life in a, of course, logical way and say that the same Allah who bestowed me this wealth now is also able to give me that in the future.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Imam Ali says in one of his noble saying, Al-Bukhlu Adun, being stingy, is dishonor and shame. Someone who is mean tries to add to his money for a time that he may not have the fortune to use it because no one knows how long he is alive. Why I should spend money for a day that I have no way to use it at all? It just is a waste of time and a waste of energy. There is another two neglected points. Pay attention to these points. Firstly, it is not certain that the future be difficult or even that much difficult. Secondly, if the future is difficult, I may not be alive to sense it, to sense that difficulty. My life could come to an end prior to being confronted with that difficulty. In both two cases, our intellect says that we should spend as much as is necessary and also customary. I remember that once I read that a man who was put into prison committed suicide for the fear of capital punishment. The strange part of this envoy's function was that the man, due to the fear of not being killed, killed himself. A stingy man exactly does the same. Why a man whose resources of life is much more than his need should deprive himself and deprive those who are related to him from what he has? The opposite point of being stingy is generosity, which sometimes causes a person to give even his needed resources to others and still be happy, since he sees others become happy as well. Being stingy is a hideous trait, and people near and far distance themselves from him. Secondly, stinginess is a cause of hard-heartedness, or al-qasaba. It brings about cruelty, because the stingy man hears the cries of the poor and sees their need, and at the same time does not help them, while he can afford to help them. And this is resultant in cruelty. Thirdly, miserliness causes many economic resources to be taken out of healthy commercial circulation, and a great portion of wealth will be stored useless as a treasure at the hand of the miserman, while some groups of people in the society may need it. And fourthly, stingy people are very weak in mind and in vision, and incapable of social thinking due to their irrational attachment to the wealth and property, and this is another disgrace for them. For this negative outcome of being stingy, Imam Ali says to his famous letter to Malik Ashtad, his honorable companion, لا تدخلن في مشورتك بخيلا, never consult a stingy person at all, because such a man invites you to leave the truth and what is right and scares you of poverty. Let me end my discussion with another subtle point. Although many people are stingy concerning their wealth and property, we have some other source that people do not pay attention to it. For example, some people are not generous with regard to what they know. They are stingy with regard to what they know. For instance, a skillful doctor who knows how masterfully cure a diseased man may not reveal his secret and his method to other doctors. And his reason for this secrecy would be that he thinks that by this way people who suffer from the same disease may refer to him and he could gain more money and more fame. There are many examples of some people who knew some needed knowledge, but they had not revealed it to others up until they passed away, and those secret knowledge and also valuable knowledge have remained uncovered forever. God be with you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share he knows.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.